Here we go, the Book of Ruth. Now, girls, Caitlin, hurry up. Man, there you go. This is a book in the Bible. Ruth is her name. Marvelous. I bet you've already heard of it. I bet you've already read it. And Olivia, I'm sure you have. But you know, this isn't just for ladies at all. So we'll just look at the Ruth story here a little bit. I'd like to just read it. I won't do that today. I kind of think you've all been reading it or have read it. But I've read it before, but somehow it didn't just mean as much as it did this last couple of weeks. And so I'll just kind of, I don't know, point out a good couple of things here. Who are the characters? Elimelech, who's that? What's that? Yeah. And Naomi. Yeah, there you go. I tell you, Jerry, you are on the stick this morning. How about Malon? And Shilion. Chilion, Kylion. Here we go. Orpah. Orpah, here we go. Yep, the sisters, Orpah and Ruth. And I guess I did hear that Orpah got her name from this. She just can't spell worth a lick, so that's where she got that from. And then there's Boaz and Obed. So those are the characters that are just read really slowly when you read through this thing. Now, let me say this. This book, unless I let somebody out here, this book is for women. It's for ladies. It's for mothers. Is there a difference between women and ladies? Yes, but we won't go there today. Mothers, daughters, daughters-in-law. I left one out. Mothers-in-law, obviously. Grandmas, wives, widows, sisters, parents, new parents, husbands, sons, and yes, even a boss could get something from the Book of Ruth. And surprisingly, so should a pastor get something from her. Lots of good illustrations in here that we could still use today. Now remember, as we go through these things, we don't want to be like Ruth. We want to learn from Ruth. There's a difference there. You can't be like Ruth unless you're a Ruthie type person. But it is not our goal is to read the Old Testament and try to be like them. But we certainly can learn from them. And today, the way things are in the homes and stuff, learning from Ruth is a hard lesson to learn from in lots of ways. The story of Ruth is a story of faithfulness, integrity, love, prosperity and blessings, but done in a proper manner from God, protection. It's a story about grace. It's a story of redemption. It's a story about getting strength to go on as we get older. It's for comfort. We can learn about comfort. We can learn about caring for others, how to care for a mother-in-law, grandmas, husbands towards a wife, daughters towards in-laws, that sort of a thing. There's humbleness in here towards other people, towards those same people, even being humble towards your mother-in-law, your husband. It's an amazing story in here. Comforting others, the same people. And it's just a good story of patience. Now look at chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at a couple of highlighted verses and we'll just show you some general things. I would imagine you've gotten plenty out of the Book of Ruth if you've read it slowly and carefully and tried to see some things. But chapter 1, there's just a couple of phrases I like that I put down that only the King James just says things so right. For example, verse 8. I just like how she says, "The Lord deal kindly with you." I like that. "Lord deal kindly with you." What did we say? "Yeah, I'll see you later. Don't get hit by truck." Or go, you know, whatever. We just got a way of saying goodbye. But here, just "the Lord deal kindly with you." Look at the same thing right after that. "As ye have dealt with the dead." Having to deal with a dad that dies, or a parent, or friends, or family, or whatever. She said, "As ye have dealt with the dead." You know, "Lord, be kind, the Lord deal kindly with you, because you've been dealing with the dead," that kind of a thing. It's just... it's just a neat thing. Look at verse 9. "The Lord grant that ye may find rest." I like that. You know, don't we need that? "The Lord grant that ye may find rest." And verse 13. For it grieveth me much for your sakes. So we still have heart for other people. Should have, anyway. Now, let's go back to verse 8. I got four verses here. Naomi was a very good whiner. I suppose you noticed that. Verse 8. She talks about the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Lord be kind to you because you had to deal with me. What does she say in verse 13? Towards the bottom. That the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. God is out to get me. You know, this is what we're getting. Now, I'm sure at the time she didn't know the importance of this whole story, her whole life and Ruth's life and Obed and what's coming down the road. But still, I mean, she's had it rough here. Husband dies, the daughter's husbands die, and the Lord is just, his hand is out against me. Verse 20. I mean, please change my name. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. You know, call me Eeyore. You know, the Lord's out to get me, kind of a thing, or whatever. No, but she does see those things. Look at verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? But those are, we have hard days, and we have them coming, but we just can't put it on God that he's doing that to us. I just don't see that. In Paul's writings about God, he doesn't do that. So let's learn from that so we don't need to be a whiner like Naomi. Now, real quickly here, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 7, just for a second here. We'll get into some of the other stuff here in a second. 1 Kings chapter 7. First Kings chapter 7, verse 21. Just wonder how many times do we have heard horrible things going on in our lives that we still blame God for? Why is God doing that to us? Kind of a thing. Anyway, 1 Kings 7, 21, verse 21. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple here, Solomon's temple. And he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin, whatever. And he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. So he named one of his pillars after Boaz. Boaz is a real strong man. He's a pillar. And some comments about Boaz. Here's for the men. Strong in grace, integrity, purpose. Lord of the harvest. The harvest was necessary. Master of servants, the redeemer, bridegroom, life-giving. He's a type of Christ is what Boaz is. And I think we probably already know that. But, you know, we're supposed to be a type of Christ too. Us guys in some ways, try to be in a way. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. For those of you that have any workers underneath you, like Louie or Chuck or any place you work, Bill, you got people that work for you. Now, you couldn't do this today, but it's too bad. Some of you could, but some of you can't, I guess. I don't know. Behold, verse 4, chapter 2, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers. He's out there, the field workers. The Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And I like that. Jimmy, you go out there in the fires, and you got these guys, the Lord be with you guys as you head off in the thing. You'd probably get in trouble. I don't know if you would or not. We're headed that way, but if you can. And the nice thing was they said it back to him. It's a two-way street. That's a good thing that you can have that kind of a relationship with your workers. Lord be with thee and with thee too, boss. Okay. Anyway, those are just some quick things here. Let's look at a couple little stories in here, little segments in here. Let's go back to chapter 1, Ruth chapter 1. Actually, this is kind of hard to present Ruth to you because I think you probably all read it a bunch of times here. For one thing, it's short. I think I'll read a whole book of the Bible tonight. I feel brave, and then you read Ruth, you know. But it takes you a while if you read it slowly. Here we go, verse chapter 1, verse 15, Orpah. And she said, behold, this is, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. Well, that's bad enough, but look at this. And unto her gods. And what happens sometimes when we have a crash in our life? We think God is mad at us or something, or we just can't handle it anymore. And we go backwards. We go back in time. We go back to the way it was beforehand. What are we really going back to? We're going back to our gods. This God didn't do me good enough, so I'm going to go back to my gods, which is money or just flesh in general, you know, that kind of a thing. Look at verse 16. What about Ruth? And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge." And this is hard. This is hard for me right here. "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." That wouldn't be so bad. 17. "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee within me." And Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded. She saw that she meant it. Such a good example there. As the generations get older, in-laws, et cetera, grandmas, the whole thing. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. Here is what kind of testimony Ruth had to people out there. Chapter 2, verse 10. "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him," this is the Boaz now, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not, heretofore." That's good testimony. And Boaz had heard that. And it's not that she's out there in the world playing with the world, going back to the gods, but she was what she was, I'll put it in our terms today, she was a Christian. She was being a Christian wherever she was at. And that is really hard today. I'm sure it was hard those days. It's always hard to do that. Look at, well, I've got chapter 1, verse 19, but that isn't what I want. Maybe it's just 2:19 here. No, that isn't anything. Let's go on here to look at verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. "Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." Very humble lady. "Let me find favor in thy sight, for thou hast comforted me, and thou hast spoken friendly." Just some good example here. Just some good example. Why don't you want to be like Ruth? Well, you can be like Ruth if you can, but I just want you to realize that we can't read the Old Testament and try to be that. We can't. And you'll see a little bit more as we go. But boy, she is our ensample. And that's the difference. We have to realize it's not an example, which means we need to do that. They are an ensample to learn from them. There's just a slight difference, but it's a big difference too. Okay, let's go to verse 14, I guess. Verse 14. This gleaning story is really neat to me. I remember our little experience of gleanings were picking up potatoes in Idaho, right? Because I think that we've been able to go out there and pick up potatoes in those fields of Idaho. So we gleaned a little bit. Then I like that picture of those three ladies gleaning, the gleaners. Girls, remember that picture? Is that in your room? Right? Have you ever talked about that with them? Ever? Caitlin? The picture of the gleaners up there? I mean, the guys don't pick the whole crop, but there's still stuff all over the place. And I think today, you're really not even supposed to allow that, are you? Isn't that a gleaning thing? Seems like some people say gleanings is an insurance problem or some dumb thing, but you just don't tell them about it, but they do it. Right? Yeah. And it's not
before harvest, might be after.
Yeah, it's not gleanings if you do it before harvest. It's called feeding, but that's all right. But I just like this little story here, verse 14. "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And well, they had salad and salad dressing and stuff. You know, that's good. Probably not ranch. Probably had ranch. Maybe it was called desert. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Well, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was bound about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city. Boy, I tell you, ladies, Old Testament here. But there's still a lesson in there. That's an encouraging story. Here's Boaz. Let her get more. Let her work at it more. I just like that story about gleanings. Look at chapter 3. This is Naomi talking to Ruth. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man, this is to Boaz, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And look what she says. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Now, if you want to go back to the Boaz thing and say, that's the way it needs to be. Woman, to my feet, as I'm sitting around eating and drinking and all this stuff, you know, rub my feet and all this kind of stuff. But she tells, Naomi tells Ruth to do this. And how often have you heard verse 5 within your home, parents? She's just going to do it. Boy, talk about a peacemaker within the home. Look at verse 18. Here is more advice from the grandma, from the mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matters will fall. Take that advice from any older person or any husband or, you know, anybody gives advice like that. Sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. And how often do we just push the issue? Just push it. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to go there. I want to buy this. I want to go this as I get older and da-da-da-da. No. Sit still and let's see how things turn out. That's just marvelous advice. You ought to have that, verse 18 and 5 underlined as good and sample for us to learn. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And sit still, my son, my daughter, my wife, until thou know how the matter will fall. And us men have to realize that too. Let's just wait and see how it turns out. Let's go here to chapter 4. Verse 7, another one. Interesting, I not a whole lot to this. This part right here. But it makes me think of we did that shoot thing. Remember, we used to sit around in a circle umpteen years ago and I was trying to build a church by fun? And we took our shoes off, we passed it. We passed the shoe, one and done the shoe, and then whoever ended up with no shoe got to get out of the game, which is really more exciting than I realized. I just call this the shoe. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, you know, you want to sign your name, a man plucked off a shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Try that at the bank. Lou goes in to buy a tractor, here's my signature, and then you slap your shoe on the counter and just, there it is. What is this? Well, I got a little Jewish in me. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. You can have a lot of fun with that in the house. Kids, Are you gonna? Yes, I will. And Sam, put your shoe on the table. I'll make sure that gets done today, Mom. And just look at all the shoes ladies have in their closets. Look at all the things they can get done in there. Every time I'll do that, poof, another shoe. Poof, I'll go do that, poof, another shoe. There's shoes all over the place. Well, but it's the thought that counts, isn't it? See, Danny, when you come in from whatever you, stuff you have to do out there, hey, you're out there, patients, doing your little towels and everything. Oh, she's not? She must not have put her shoe on the table before she said she would do that. Okay, well, do the shoe thing. And, you know, Mom, this is how God designed it. See, this is what people will do. They can go to the Old Testament, and if you want to be the example, then that's what you need to do. Pop the shoe on the table, and Shoni come along, and obviously would say, well, no, Danny, that was a little muddy, and then Shoni would pick up that shoe, and she would clean the table off, you know. Wouldn't be a problem for Mom at all. And the girls would just work together over this whole thing. Isn't that right, girls? Isn't that right, girls? All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Isn't that what goes on within the home? I haven't felt darts like that since about 6 years ago. Gotten into the horse thing. Okay. Let's go here to verse 9. Let's keep going. Verse 9. Now, kinsman redeemer. Hebrew law. A near kin who redeems property of an impoverished relative. Boaz became kinsman redeemer for his relative Elimelech. And the kinsman redeemer is a picture of Jesus Christ who became a man to redeem sinful men from bondage to sin, Satan, and death. So Boaz is that example of the redeemer, kinsman redeemer. Let's read that, verse 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Shilon's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Malon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. All the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata, and be famous in Bethlehem. That's an interesting little comment there. How did they become famous in Bethlehem? This whole thing is lineage, right on to Jesus Christ. So they became famous in Bethlehem. And let the house be like the house of Perez, whose Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed, which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. That's just, Boaz is just a guy that we can learn from. Now, I just kind of wanted to get to this last little section more than anything. And like I said, I know you've all gotten something out of this, but your own reading. But I wanted to get to this part. Verse 13. That's an amazing thing to me, that Ruth has this baby and then gives it to grandma to nourish it. And there's so much to this thing right here. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day. Remember, she always thought that God had left her. Remember all that in the beginning? Hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, there's your seven brothers, seven sons, the number seven there, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Now, verse 15. And this is kind of directed here to grandmas from people who have their children, their babies in their young years, that I like the phrase where it says, a restorer of thy life. I mean, grandma's running out of time, running out of life. And when you go to a nursing home, what do they like to see in a nursing home? They just like to see it. I don't understand that. But when you get to the nursing home, they like to see these kids. And I've always thought, well, I would think that would be depressing. Here I'm 95 years old, can't even move, and they bring me this new young wife in here. Get them out of here. we'll do well, won't we, in the nursing homes? But it's not to a grandma. It's a restorer of her life. You've got a child, you've got a baby, you've got something to live for, and that's your grandkids. A restorer of thy life. And then it says the second half of that, a nourisher of thine old age. So as much as it's hard on grandma and that type of a thing for these little kids, but it's what grandmas need. They need the little kids. And now I realize that there are some situations where you can't trust grandma with the little kids. I mean, well, Mike and Becky can't trust grandpa with the kids when it comes to school. You know, hey, we get this done in 15 minutes, Paul. Hey, you're done, let's go shooting. Come on, let's go. And he got A's and everything, you know. I'll probably never have an opportunity to teach my grandkids again, but it's the grandma that gets her life restored and nourishment, and it's a neat thing for grandmas to have those children. Now, in Ecclesiastes 12, let's look at Ecclesiastes 12 just for a minute. This is what happens to people when they get older. I read a thing the other day where the age that I'm at, Sue, you'd like this, I'm in the youth of my old age. I like that. It's the youth of old age, late 50s. That's not so bad. And you're probably in your midlife crisis of old age. See, you still got your health still, and we better hurry up and get some husbands. And you need something to nourish your grandma. Give her and get restore grandma's life. You need to get a husband and a whole bunch of kids. Got her a puppy? Well, I don't know. That's it. I don't. We got a puppy around here too, but it's just, I don't know. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. So we talk about the older years as evil days. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So the older years, there's no pleasure in them. Less and less and less. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. And the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, there's your legs, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, there's your teeth, and those that look out the windows be darkened, can't see as well. And the door shall be shut in the streets, you can hardly go anywhere. When the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. So there's anxiety stuff in there. See, it's there. And I just thought of that when I was reading Ruth and Naomi, and how much it must mean to her, a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. I just like that. Intensely. Always knowing that sometimes grandmas are in a case where you really don't want them to have your children, you can't trust them with them. Isn't that a sad thing to think that you couldn't be trusted with your grandkids? Because you're going to throw some Bible at them or something. Or you're going to try to do right. You're not going to preach. You're just going to try to guide them right and tell them some things that you'd like to tell them that you know is very important. It's still got to be a sad time for them. Okay, and then verse 13. Obed. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. See, he was born to Naomi. Isn't that observation? And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. He's the grandpa of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, and on it goes. This is just a marvelous book. Go back to chapter 3, verse 11. Of Ruth. Why why should we not try to be the virtuous woman? Chapter 3, verse 8. No, chapter 3, verse 11. Because, see, Ruth was a virtuous woman. And if I remember correctly, Proverbs 31, same type of a thing. But have you noticed what Proverbs 31 deals with when you compare it to Titus chapter 2? There's a big difference there. And I certainly don't want to cut down on the importance of Proverbs 31, but you know, I don't see how you can be a Proverbs 31 woman, work to death, work to feel, all this kind of stuff, and still be a Titus chapter 2 lady as well. I think there's something for ladies to consider when you're comparing both of those together. Look at Titus chapter 2. Now, we can learn from virtuous women, which is Ruth. But we don't want to be that example. We want to learn from her. The example we want to be is in Titus chapter 2. That's Paul. I don't know how else to put it, but be a Paul's woman, I suppose. That doesn't really sound right out there, so I won't ever use that, I guess. But verse 3, Titus chapter 2, verse 3. And verse 1 says, this is sound doctrine, that the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. So we have to realize that not only does it say, here's what you should teach the young women, but that is indirectly saying, young women, here's what you need to learn. And we need to learn from the older ladies. And I'm sad to say, but there's not many older ladies today that are good examples for younger women. And I know you ladies have all said that. Well, what should they teach them? Teach them to be sober. Ladies are pretty radical and loud and mouthy today, involved in everything. To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. How many ladies that are discreet out of Boise, Jerry? I'll bet you some of the men are more discreet than some of the ladies out there. Chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Remember what Ruth said to Naomi? I'll do what you said. And that the word of God be not blasphemed. Very, very challenging verses right there. But to me, Titus is the one to be an example, and Proverbs 31 and Ruth is to be our ensample, to learn from that. Because you can go back to Proverbs 31 and be you can be a CEO of a major company if you want. But see, that's what they did in the Old Testament days, and Christ took care of that. Christ put the woman in the place that he wants her to be, and Paul's the one that tells us about it. And that's my encouragement, that ladies be striking out for Titus. Be the Titus woman, best you can. These are hard days, and praise God for his grace, as we'll talk about this morning in the service. I mean, life is what it is, and you're where you're at, and your needs are what they are, but I don't see a whole lot of Titus chapter 2 women anywhere. Well, I'm not saying that they're there, but can you do it all? I don't know. Can us husbands do it all? That's our goal. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 3 and all that stuff about a pastor and a man and a deacon stuff, those are our objectives. Those are our goals. Have we arrived? No, but we're trying. And it seems to me that most ladies today are trying to be the Proverbs lady, not the Titus. Titus is tough enough. You can learn from Ruth, though. Boy, she was a good lady. And Naomi, once you get past the wine thing. And men, look at us up there. 2, aged men, be sober, grave. Doesn't say in the grave, it just says grave. You've got to be serious about things. Temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Down to verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Now this is what the parents need to be teaching the young boys. And I'm sorry to say, we need to have example as well. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. This is us at work. Everybody out there cusses and yells and screams, well, this guy doesn't. He doesn't say anything about it. Maybe 5 years, somebody says, you know, I never hear you get mad or cuss. That's how a testimony is real to people. So we all have an example here to strive to be in Titus, not in Proverbs. But we can sure learn from the Proverbs. That's wisdom. Look at verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not mouthing back, or having a better answer. I mean, didn't you have art? You said the other day that people coming up to Boise, these young people think they got all the right ways of doing it or whatever. Are there people there that try to tell you the way it ought to be? Are there? I mean, you're the boss guy, and you got these little whippersnappers, right? As what people call them. Little whippersnappers. And they try to tell you how it should be, right? I tend to believe that. Amazing. But then how many old teachers, I tell them how to do their classroom? Well, we've all done it. We've all done it. Maybe not. Maybe some of you haven't. Maybe some of you have landed. But not purloined, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God. Boy, look at that. Adorn the doctrine of God in all things. But he follows up with the grace of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I was wanting to ask you ladies what you got out of the book of Ruth, but I know you weren't going to say anything anyway. But if we're sitting around having marshmallows and hamburgers and stuff tonight, I'd sure like to hear it sometime, you ladies, if you got a lot out of Ruth in your own readings. That'd be fun to hear what you think of the story of Ruth. Boy, I sure enjoyed it. I haven't enjoyed a story like that in a long time like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. She's quite a lady. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples. See, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So there's reasons for looking for studying Ruth. There really are. And then 1 Timothy 1:16. Then we'll be done here. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause, this is Paul, I obtained mercy that in me, as Paul, first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. See, what Jesus Christ tells Paul, that's our pattern. So really, Paul is our pattern. So Titus chapter 2 means more to us than Proverbs 31 and Ruth, but boy, we can sure learn from Ruth. And if you got children and grandchildren, let grandma have them, because it's their charge of life. And sad if it doesn't take place. Well, we'll dismiss for a couple minutes, and we'll see you upstairs. Enjoy your coffee and your ice water.